Shoeless Joe from Hannibal Moe.
Shoeless Joe from Hannibal Moe.
A little hoedown in honor of our new star.
Shoeless Joe from Hannibal Moe.
Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. I'm playing, as I told you before, songs from Damn Yankees. There ain't a lot of Broadway shows about baseball, and since the Cubs swept the St. Louis Cardinals and everybody has baseball fever now because the magic number is 10, I'm treating you to some Damn Yankees. Chicago Monumental, a book published within the last year by Larry Broutman, is as magnificent a book as I can remember seeing, and I see hundreds of books every week. It is a gathering of terrific, terrific photos by Larry, text by Larry, organized in among the most compelling way imaginable. When you have not only Anton Cermak's mausoleum in a book and Al Capone's relatively simple gravestone, you're on to something. Larry, thank you for coming in, and thanks for doing this book. You are a great photographer. You're a terrific writer. What is your background?
Well, it's really interesting because I'm not really a trained photographer. I'm an engineer, and engineers and necessarily.
But engineers are the smartest people in the world, right? They are.
Well, you might say I taught engineering for a number of years too at IIT in Chicago, and but I think engineers are not necessarily identified with writers, authors, photographers.
Sure.
And I became interested in photography kind of in the middle of my career as an engineer. And
what was the catalyst for that? What sparked your interest?
Well, I think the catalyst, Rick, was the fact that we did a lot of research, scientific research.
Sure.
And in the laboratory, you use photography as a tool.
Of course.
So I was using it in my career as a research tool, and it kind of just slowly changed to larger and larger subjects, and as opposed to out of the laboratory.
Right.
And so I actually became really interested in more like landscape photography and actually wildlife photography.
As a hobby.
But I really took it seriously. I worked with some of the best photographers in the world, in the United States, but I'd say they're world ranked photographers.
Sure.
What's great about being knowledgeable about some of these photographers is they often give seminars, workshops. You can travel with them, and I was lucky enough to be able to do that. And so I really began to take this very seriously. That was like in the 1990s.
You did some work for Lurie Children's Hospital, did you not?
I did. In fact, that's kind of what started me off on the book writing that I've been doing in more recent years.
How did that come to be? Because I've been spending some time there involved with another story. That's one of the most remarkable places I've ever been in my life. Part of it is the artwork and photography.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but on every floor at Lurie, I got involved right when the hospital was breaking ground, actually.
Wow.
When they were breaking ground for the hospital.
Yeah.
And I saw this occurring because I don't live that far from it. And I had done a previous project that I donated to the hospital when they were when Children's Hospital was on
Children's
Clark
Memorial.
Street.
Yeah,
Children's
sure.
Memorial.
Sure.
I built something called the Safari Cafe, or I mounted wildlife photographs onto what I hired a painter that painted a savanna scene on a wall at Children's, and then we put these wildlife photographs.
Why Children's? Why any connection to the hospital?
It's just something that I thought would be helpful to children in a hospital setting. And so when I saw Lurie going up, the Lurie Hospital, I walked over and introduced myself and said, I did this project for you guys when it was Children's Memorial. I really be interested in donating more wildlife photographs. And what they said is, yeah, that would be very interesting, but actually what we'd really like is something whimsical, something that the kids would
sure.
kind of laugh at or find enjoyment with, rather than just the picture, you know, of an animal. And that was that decision by the committee that was involved in the interior design of the hospital launched my career, because I said, oh, okay, that sounds interesting. You mean we're going to put animals into Chicago environments? And they said, that's exactly what we want to do.
How interesting.
So I always chuckle about it and say it's the first time that a committee had come to, I think, a really great decision. And we wound up doing a totally whimsical treatment by putting my wildlife photographs of animals into Chicago iconic scenes, which I photographed. So I wound up photographing like the Crown Fountain and the Bean and very identifiable Chicago subjects. And by Photoshop methods, we good sense of humor, we put animals into these photographs. So that book, which then evolved, was called Chicago Unleashed.
Unleashed, right? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And did you self-publish that?
I self published that book, and the proceeds. Excuse me, Rick. Recovering from a cold, also, the proceeds from the book are all donated. The author's royalties are donated to...
Such as they are, yeah.
Such as they are, right. Books are not the greatest way to make a living.
No living at all.
Right. And so the royalties are donated to the Chicago Lighthouse for the Blind and also Access Living, both organizations dealing and helping people with disabilities. So all the royalties for all my books are going, you know, to those two organizations.
It's empowering to publish a book. It's empowering to see your own work. And I'm sure that Chicago Unleashed was a very empowering experience for you. Did you immediately then say to yourself, okay, I've done this, I want to do... This is Chicago Monumental is an unbelievably ambitious book, and to your ever-loving credit, you pulled it off. But it is an incredibly ambitious... It's an ambitious subject.
It is, and I really, I'm flattered by your comments, because I know you've written books and you know what's involved. But I think the concept for Chicago Monumental grew out of the fact that I had already been photographing monuments of some sort for the first book and for Lurie Children's Hospital. So it evolved into thinking that
you could pull this off.
I might be able to pull this off. I knew it would take a lot of time and a lot of effort, but I had the time, and I had the time available. I'm retired.
Oh, and you certainly had the energy. Larry Broutman is my guest for this entire hour, because his book, Chicago Monumental, deserves this entire hour.
There's something about an empty chair that makes me feel afraid when he's not sitting there.
Thanks, Aubrey Mumpower, for playing tunes from Damn Yankees. The magnificent Chicago Monumental is the work of the photographer and writer Larry Broutman. It is his second book. It is it's easy to order. Chicago Monumental, you can just, you know, it's in bookstores, I'm sure.
Bookstores
are left, and online everywhere. I don't even know where to start with you. It's the first book I've seen in a long time that has one of my favorite, if not one of the most notable sculptures in Chicago, the totem pole.
Yes.
Why is that included? I love that it's included.
Well, that's a good question, because I did photograph it, you know, prior to them removing it. Correct.
Yeah. I was so happy to see it in here. I really was.
Well, you know, it's different relative to many of the other monuments in the book. If you want to call it a monument, it's definitely a wonderful, you know, art piece.
Oh.
And it was prominent. I saw driving down Lakeshore Drive, you just can't miss it.
Yeah.
I just felt it belonged in the book.
I'm so glad you put it in here. I miss it. I really do miss it. Another fabulous chapter in here is the Civil War era. And it's wonderful to me because it reminds me of how many Lincolns there are in this town. Were you stunned? I mean, even in your book, I'm going, oh, my God, I forgot that one. I forgot that one. I forgot that one.
I was. I had no concept when I started that, you know, there were, in fact, seven monuments, and there is an eighth, which some people kind of joke about, and because, you know, it really is not much of a monument, but I felt I had to include it.
You mean the forgotten Lincoln?
Right. And
this is when I must tell you, you're a great photographer, and you must have, boy, you waited until the sky was blue in most of your pictures. This one is when this may be one of the best shots in the book, The Forgotten Lincoln, by an unknown sculptor. It's in concrete. It was installed in 1926 at 68th and South Walcott.
You know what I had to do?
I cannot even imagine.
Well, a modern-day photographer, someone that is doing a book of this kind or taking photographs of this kind, you can rely, for example, on Google Street. And I use Google Maps and Google Street a lot. One, to learn if the monument or statue or fountain, for that matter, was on a street as opposed to a park, I could find it online. I could find out which direction it was facing, and I could kind of understand what the surrounding area was like.
Right.
So I used that a lot, and I used it particularly for that statue, and I for that bust, you might say.
Right.
And I often, my protocol was to really go out usually very early on a Saturday or Sunday morning when there wouldn't be very many people around.
Sure.
And in that particular case, the Forgotten Lincoln, there was one person around. He walked into my picture and never said a word to me. I photographed him in a most amazing way. And it's really, to my mind, one of the highlights of
good.
The book.
So I thought you were going to say, Rick, that's not a good picture. I love that. This photograph is unbelievable,
yes,
frankly.
Yes, I think it is.
It is literally worth the price of the book.
It's one of a kind, I would say.
Reasonably priced at $50. The smile, everything about this guy is fascinating.
Right.
Another highlight, I'm just plowing through Larry Broutman's Chicago Monumental because he's going to be on for the whole hour, and we will not be able to digest everything in here, so that's why you should just buy it, ladies and gentlemen. He is donating all of his author royalties to the Chicago Lighthouse and to Access Living because he's a good guy. I don't know all the reasons for his largesse in that way. Did you really go out with these two dogs when you shot everything? He has the two cutest dogs sitting on his head. He's also got an adorable wife sitting in the studio. But did you take your dogs out?
I did.
They were your companion.
They're my companions. They all sat in the back of the car.
Photo assistants.
And can I tell you, it's kind of an odd story, but it's quick. One of the reasons was I often had to park illegally, take my tripod out of the car to photograph some of the statues, and I figured, okay. Now, I'm not going to get towed with two dogs in the car, right?
Yeah.
So, because a lot of the monuments are in locations that, to really get the photograph correctly, it's not easy, let's say that.
No, it's not. Another one that you highlight in the book, they're all kind of highlights, is talk to me about, because I don't know if you've seen it a million times, but one of the sort of obscure great monuments in this town is a Stephen A. Douglas tomb and monument. It's sort of hidden. Some people, you can kind of see it from the drive if you're looking for it. Isn't that a special place?
I think your comment about it being hidden is very good. Now, for example, that is not far from the campus of Illinois Institute of Technology, where I taught for 15-plus years.
Sure.
I never knew it was there.
Is that right? I can imagine
right.
That.
Right. So
yeah.
It's roughly around 37th Street and east of Cottage Grove, I think, something like that. I didn't realize it was there until I, again, started learning more about the sculptors. In this case, that was done by Leonard Volk. Volk was, again, a world-class sculptor and probably responsible for the numbers of monuments that got created in the city starting in the 1860s. And he happened to be Stephen Douglas's cousin.
Yeah.
His wife happened to be Stephen Douglas's cousin. So he did that Stephen Douglas monument. And because I knew about Leonard Volk, I got directed there, and I'd never been there.
It's really a cool place, don't you think?
It really is.
Oh, it's magnificent. I know they do, I mean, it's open to the public, and they do some tours, but it's really, really worth it. Stephen A. Douglas Memorial Park, whatever they call it. And I'm plowing through this. You have Anton Cermak's mausoleum in here. Anton Cermak, one of the great forgotten mayors of Chicago, the guy who gave birth to the Democratic machine and how it operates.
Tragic history also in terms of his,
being shot. And someone's trying to kill Franklin Roosevelt in Miami and shoots Anton Cermak by mistake. There's no telling what Cermak might have gone on to do. We were talking off air before we went on, Larry Brotman and I, about cemeteries. After the news, we'll talk some more about cemeteries because we share, as many of you do, even if you won't talk about your affection for cemeteries, many of you should. These are outdoor art galleries and outdoor history museums. Another one, you highlight that you have a chapter dedicated to artists and writers. And the one thing that strikes me about this one, you feature the work of Jack Carney, who was a great friend of my parents, and I love Jack. I thought he's the guy who makes sculptures out of old, 50s car bumpers, when car bumpers were really chrome, and you have the Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz series in Oz Park. The funny thing about the artists and writers thing, if you want to comment on it, I'll do it too, is so many of them are foreign writers who I guarantee you, if you asked 100 people in this city, what are the works of, what did Goethe write? You know what I mean? This is from the era when, we wanted to elevate our sense of... Can't tell, but that's from Damn Yankees. I'm playing that because the city will have a baseball fever right now. Larry Brotman is the author and photographer of a remarkable book called Chicago Monumental, which captures every monument in the city, but it is gathered into sections that makes it so compelling. You don't need it. It would also compel you to go out and take a do-it-yourself guided tour and to also just look up. Will you, people, just look up? They're out there. They're organized into sections of explorers, the Civil War era, statesmen and leaders, writers and artists, science and medicine, champions of the people, men of commerce, the lawless and the law, I'll get to that chapter, heroes, war memorials, tragedy and healing, the waters of memory, architectural sculpture, and then some 3D images in the back. Larry, as you well know, there are very few, relatively few, comparatively few memorials or monuments to women as compared to men. True?
True.
This isn't just some Rick Kogan pipe dream.
No, you're right.
The Jane Addams Memorial, again, one of these terribly obscure, in a place where it does not get a lot of foot traffic. I really find that remarkable because Louise Bourgeois, one of the great sculptors of the 20th century, created this. Do you like it too?
Oh, I think it's wonderful, and the setting that it's in is also wonderful. But as you point out, it's pretty hard to find.
Yeah. It's in the what is called the Chicago Women's Park. Now, all of you out there going, I didn't know we had a women's park. At sort of 18th and Indiana, not a lot of foot traffic, but certainly worth the visit. There are a number of people, I guarantee you, who walk into the merchandise mart every day to go to work, who do not. Don't you think, Larry, that there are probably people who've worked in the mart for 10 years who could not tell you one of the heads that sit outside?
I think that's, I'm sure, I totally agree with you on
isn't
that.
Isn't that sad?
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. They're wonderful monuments and heads, basically.
Yeah.
But I think you're absolutely right.
That's why we just, you know, we need to look around. We were talking earlier about the Pillar of Fire and the sort of gravestone of Mrs. O'Leary. The Pillar of Fire is a beautiful thing.
It really is. It's in front of the Fire Academy, and it is, in fact, on DeKoven Street, and it's right at the origin of the Chicago Fire from 1871. So it's a very, you know, historically significant monument, and I would, you know, I think people going in that area, it's great to stop by and check it out and look at what it is today.
The other chapter, how did you... This is a very interesting thing. I don't need to get to the soul of your creativity, but you must have had you couldn't have come up with the chapter titles before. You probably just took a bunch of pictures and then started to separate them into kind of like-minded things. How did you come up with the Lawless and the Law, which is one of my favorite chapters in the book?
Well, you're right. That's, in fact, what happened. My goal was to make sure I photographed every what I would call historic monument in Chicago or the Chicago area.
Yeah.
Historic meaning pretty much unveiled prior to World War II, roughly 1940, anything prior to that. And the first statue or monument was actually installed at Rose Hill Cemetery in 1864. So from 1864, so my idea was to photograph every monument that I, you know, that was basically in the city, in the Chicago area.
Wow.
That's how it started. But the division into these sections was done after we photographed all the monuments, after the text was written, and with the cooperation of a wonderful book designer, Carol Harrelson, we decided on these areas of grouping together the monuments.
The Alphonse Capone gravestone, not much of a monument, is at Mount Carmel Cemetery. And we were talking about the and there are many, 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 many pictures from cemeteries in here as these places being the great repository for the self-expression of the dead, sort of. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Memories, you know, that are basically precious to those whose a family member or a friend, you know, have died. And some of the incredible sculptors that were in the city working at the Art Institute of Chicago in the early 1900s were responsible for many of those cemetery monuments. And so if you go into some of the cemeteries like Graceland and Rose Hill, you will find basically world-class monuments.
No question. No question. We were talking about the monument that I just wrote about, the new Ernie Banks monument that is in Graceland. But it's a place to go, you know, maybe you think, oh, well, let's go to Graceland for Halloween or something. You should. You should go to Graceland at any time, or Rose Hill, or Oak Woods.
Yes.
What do you think about, this is very interesting, I'm so glad you're on, Larry Broutman, author, photographer of Chicago Monumental. All the controversy swirling now nationwide about various monuments and locally, and you have a photo in here of the Balbo Monument. I think it's political correctness gone crazy, frankly. I do.
Well,
one man's opinion.
I tried, you know, I did receive some calls once the, for example, in some of the southern states, the, you know, the monuments to Robert E. Lee and so on were taken down. And so I did get a call from a couple of people saying, well, what kind of Confederate monuments are there in Chicago, you know? And I said, other than the Confederate mound in Oakwood Cemetery, which was really dedicated by the Union to the Confederate soldiers,
4,000 to 6,000 people who died at the Camp Douglas, which was on land donated by Stephen A. Douglas, who we've just talked about.
Correct.
Very close to the IIT campus. Yeah.
Correct. And that, you know, that is basically the only monument of that kind. Now, Balbo is a different story.
Yeah.
You know, there are people, and there's ever since that was basically put up during 1933 World's Fair,
sure,
there have been people that wanted to take it down.
No question. They want the street name changed.
And the street name, Balbo Drive, there's been a lot of effort to get the city to change the name back to 7th Street.
Yeah, sure.
So I've tried to stay out of the kind of the political fray.
Sure.
But I can tell people, you know, if they ask what the factual information is about that. And, you know, there's just a lot of controversy. I wouldn't be surprised if we see that monument basically disappear and wind up in a museum somewhere.
Yeah. Funny thing is, it, too, is relatively hard to find. You gotta
Very hard to find.
In a very obscure place.
Yes, but very obscure. You're absolutely
people
right.
People who want to change the world want to change that. I also love, you have a section, we were talking about Greg Borzo and his fountain things. There's a nice little section in here about some of Chicago's coolest fountains. One of the great things about this book, Larry Broutman, is that it is not all-inclusive. It would be 800 pages longer. It is your personal take. That's what I really like about it, that it is not everything is not in this book.
I mean, for example, in the case
there's a lot.
There's a lot, yeah. But in the case of the fountains, for example, I could have photographed. I tried to, again, stay to fountains that are historic in nature, that were, in you know, basically installed in the early 1900s, like Buckingham Fountain. And
sure.
So if the fountain was more recent than that, meaning, you know, 1960, 1970, I would not include it.
Now, you said, and we got to take another break, nuts. I have to read this, then we'll take a break, and then you and I will talk some more. Thank you for spending this much time in here. I do love this book. The curse of the billy goat is over, and we've got finally Northside champions, but the billy goat lives on in the friendly taverns that dot Chicago, and in a brand new place, too, the freezer section of your local Jewel Osco. At any one of the 185 Jewel Osco stores in the Chicagoland area, you'll find the world-famous billy goat burgers frozen and ready to go home with you. You're the chef. You know that. But try adding some cheese. That's how you'll be able to create the one and only world champion cheeseburger. Cheeseburger. We'll be right back.
Don't make me brag. I took the zing out of the king of Siam. I took the starch out of the sails of the Prince of Wales.
That's the last time you'll hear damn Yankees unless the Cubs go further in the playoffs than they might. But damn Yankees is a great, was a great show. Pretty good movie, too. I have a few minutes left with Larry Broutman, the author and photographer of Chicago Monumental, a majestic book. You can order it anywhere. It should be in bookstores if you can find yourself a bookstore. We were talking about the Balbo Monument. I want to tell you, I know that the lions in front of the Art Institute are revered and loved and beloved. I like the buffaloes.
Right.
I prefer the buffaloes. I don't get to see them as often. But what do you think about them? They're in Humboldt Park.
Again, not many people would see them. Of course, they're in the book.
Yeah.
And they're really gorgeous. And, you know, the lions are fantastic,
sure,
as well, of course.
I don't like them to put hats and football helmets on
right,
them. I like
right.
They're not dignified.
Sometimes people trying to climb on them. And again, when I photographed those, again, that was a particular time when I had to get out on an early Sunday morning,
oh, God,
so there'd be
not many
people around.
But it's a beautiful shot. These you must be terribly pleased, not only with the, and one of the other great things about this book is you are not overwhelmed by, information or terribly, you know, lengthy stories about each of these. It just, you know, sort of just the facts, ma'am, just the facts, as they used to say on Dragnet. It is just enough, and it is more than enough, I think.
Right. Thanks again. And the reason is I was really concentrated on the photography.
Yeah.
There are other books that were written in about 1980, two
sure.
classic books that really have quite enhanced descriptions of
sure,
these.
Sure, Chicago's Public
they,
Sculpture by, yeah,
right.
Ira Bach. And,
yeah. Bach and one by Reedy,
yeah.
James Reedy. And they had, but they their photographs that were just,
oh,
they
terrible.
Were
terrible.
Yeah, terrible.
Well, they were supplied by, you know,
yes.
whoever ran the building near the monument. Oh, my God, they're horrible.
Right. So, you know, that's what led me to really say, no, I'm going to do the book, and the photographs will be the primary interest, and then the descriptions are important. But the photographs are most important.
The idea for the there's a pair of glasses included with each book, and in the back there are a number of pages. I can't point 20 pages or so. Yeah, about 20 pages. There's a great picture of Larry and his two dogs too, and his photo assistants at the back, Shadow and Tansy. The idea for the three-dimensional pictures, why?
One of those ideas that somehow
got in your head and you
got in my head.
It,
I can't even tell you how it got there. I felt it was a challenge, and I began to see some of the monuments that had these cannons, like the Confederate Mound at Oakwoods, and
yep.
I said, "Wow, that would really look dramatic if I could do that in 3D." And I basically, you know, learned how to do the 3D imaging with a camera, and then through Photoshop. So. It's and when I give a talk on the book, I pass out the glasses and we project the images onto a screen and everyone goes, wow, you know, they
yeah,
really stand
they
out.
How often do you talk about the book? You said you're doing something at the Cultural Center this week.
Yes. Typically, I've talked to a lot of historical societies in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
So once every probably 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, something like
nice.
That.
Nice.
And it's great because I learn a lot and, you know, when I give these talks – you get a lot of people that are very knowledgeable coming.
Yeah, good.
And so I learn quite a bit myself.
Good, because Larry and I think that if you asked all, the next 100 people going in the merchandise mart, who are those statues out front, not one of them would know. Not one of them would know. Okay, I've got to ask you, name your three or four favorites.
Well, for me, you know, in terms of the beauty, it has to be the Golden Lady, the Republic, out in Jackson Park.
Mm-hmm.
And the story associated with it, because it goes back to the Columbian Exposition. And, in fact, I was able to retrieve one of the original souvenir books from the Columbian Exposition.
Oh, nice.
I can see exactly where that, the original
sure.
Golden Lady,
sure.
This is not the original, of course, was placed. And then I love the statue on top of what used to be the Montgomery Ward building on Chicago Avenue at the river. And I photographed that, by the way, from the Tribune parking lot.
The Freedom Center parking lot.
Across the bridge.
Oh, neat.
And that probably I photographed that at least six different occasions to get the best shot.
How many of these, that's an interesting thing you bring up, how many of these were just one shot, not one shot, but one visit
none.
Success? None.
None. Because, you know, first scoping it out, again, it turns out a lot of statues are under trees, or when they were erected, maybe they weren't,
yeah.
but now they are. So I found out, no, the tree has got too many leaves, too much shade, and I'd have to go back in the winter, you know, to do it. So I'd say, you know, there could have been a few, but most of them are more than one visit, one shot.
Well, at least the dogs were getting exercise. Dog must have thought this is the greatest thing in the world. We're out all the time, getting to go out all
sitting
the time.
In the back seat of the car, but,
well, but they
were very
to get
patient.
To the car, and they have to leave the car
right.
and go home.
Right.
What's next for you?
Well, I'm finishing up the book on cemeteries called Chicago Eternal. I'm in the proofreading stage, so the book hopefully will be out in February. I'm also doing another whimsical book called Chicago Treasure, which is totally different, a total book of whimsy, again, similar to my first book.
Sure.
where I photographed children, many of whom were in the preschool at the Chicago Lighthouse.
Oh.
And we put these children, I have a wonderful illustrator, and we put the children into nursery rhymes. They become part of a nursery rhyme.
What a great idea.
It's pretty unusual. It's going to be called Chicago Treasure. And I'm beginning to work on a very serious book for the fifth book, which is called Chicago Courageous, which is on Chicago veterans that have been killed or have in foreign wars, starting with the Civil War and ending with Iraq and Afghanistan. And that's a it's going to be a touching and very serious book. And I'm just really digging into, really working hard on getting that done now. Starting the photographs.
You were, and I'm sure you were a very, very successful engineer, but I wish you'd gotten into this business before. I just wish you'd not become an engineer and just got in the book writing photography business. But Larry Broutman you're something. This book has won the Midwest Independent Publishing Association. It was a finalist for that award. And this other, another independent, it's won some awards, but that's not what means anything to me. It's just a great book.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And you have to come back on when these other books.
Love to. Love
these
to.
These books are out. Thank you and your lovely wife for coming in and indulging my enthusiasm for all things Chicago. This is just a remarkable book.
Thank you so much.
Why did I know about this before? Plus, all of the author royalties are going to the... are being given to the nonprofit agencies, your Chicago Lighthouse, for people who are blind or visually impaired, and to Access Living, which just gilds the rose that is my new pal, Larry Broutman. So, Larry, I can't wait for your next book. Mrs. Broutman, it's great to meet you and see you. Aubrey Mumpower, thanks for engineering. Lise Graham, thanks for doing your podcast, Lise FM. Go look for the podcast and producing this show. Kyle Amari is coming up. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is 11 o'clock on the button, and here with the news brought to you by It's Just Lunch, my pal who brought me a birthday cake. That must be the only news